Welcome to the Archie Hardy program as we declare to you, souls are crying and men are dying. We must do all we can to win the lost. I'm Sharon Knotts, and the message we bring you today is Public Sinner Number 1, which I ministered recently at Faith Tabernacle. This message is for every sinner who believes that God could not or would not save you, and for every Christian who has battled with condemnation and guilt over your sinful past. I'll tell you at the close of the program how you can order this valuable message, Public Sinner Number 1.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. There is nothing, there is no one to compare to the living Christ. We serve a living Savior today. Amen. He is alive and He bears witness in the hearts of those who believe in Him. He will bear witness with your spirit that He is alive. Amen. And if you are alive in Jesus Christ, you know that you know that you've been born again. Amen. You know that Jesus is your Savior. And the scripture says, to the utmost, Jesus saves. There's no one so far away from God that the arm of salvation. In the Old Testament, Jesus is called the arm of God. To whom is the arm of God revealed? That is a metaphor for Messiah. To whom has God revealed His Son? He can reach down in the lowest pit, amen, and bring you out. And today we're going to minister on how far can God save you? Who can He save today? Is there anyone that God cannot save? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Amen. Have you found it? All right. Let's read together. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was, somebody say was, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Now, right now, what I just said that I've read, Paul is basically taking out his yellow highlighter and he says, I want you to highlight what I'm about to say, because this is the most important thing that I'm going to say of everything I say in this letter. This is faithful. In other words, it's true, it's trustworthy, it's reliable, and it's worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy that everyone should hear, receive, and believe what he's about to say. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And let the church say, amen. Amen. So Paul is saying here, this is his personal testimony. Basically what Paul said is, I was the most unlikely person to ever get saved. Do you know anybody like that? Have you met anyone? Is there someone in your family, someone on your job, someone in your neighborhood that it seems like they are the most unlikely person that would ever get saved? And sometimes we get frustrated when we come up against those kind of people and we kind of back off and we kind of let up on our witness or let up on our praying for them, because it just seems like, you know, we know the whole world's not going to get saved. Unfortunately, we know that. And sometimes we meet those people that are the most unlikely. And that's what Paul said. He says, listen, I was a blasphemer. He blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God that's not the unpardonable sin. It's a terrible thing. It's a wicked thing. But he said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And there's a lot of sinners that you'll come up against that they will blaspheme the name of Jesus and you want to punch them in the nose. But that's not a good idea. Amen? Because they're ignorant. Do you think if they really knew Jesus like you know Jesus? Of course not. They're in unbelief. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the image of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. And so Paul said, that's the condition I was in. I was blind and I went around blaspheming Jesus. He was so angry because these Christians said that Jesus was the Messiah. And even though Jesus has now been crucified and should be past history, should be, these Christians won't give up. They're going around saying that he was raised from the dead. And so he said, I was a blasphemer. I hated the name of Jesus. And I was a persecutor. I persecuted everyone that called on his name and owned him as their Savior and Messiah. He said, I was injurious. And that's a strong word in the Greek. It means I was violently outrageous against them. I mean, remember when they stoned Stephen for his witness of Christ, the first martyr of the church, how that the Bible says they gnashed on him with their teeth? You've got to be ready to explode with anger to act like that. And while they were stoning Stephen, there was somebody that was standing there holding their cloaks. They took them off. You know how you'll take off your shirt so you can really fight? Well, they handed all the coats over to one guy standing there, and that was, well, his name was Saul, a.k.a. Paul. So remember that, because we'll see that. Saul was his given birth name, but after he came to Jesus Christ, the Lord literally gave him a new name. His name was Paul. And so he was there holding the cloaks. He was so full of anger. And actually, let's hold your place in Timothy, because we'll come back. But let's flip over to Acts, the 8th chapter, and the 8th and 9th chapters of Acts, and look at how the condition of that Saul's mindset was and how he treated these people. Let's look at 8:3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. I mean, he was going to people's houses. And he was just busting in their houses, every house. He was not going to let one Christian get away. He was going to find all of them going in there, wreaking havoc. Now, the word havoc, again, it's akin to what we read in injurious. It means to treat outrageously with personal injury. Now, we're talking about one-on-one now. He was going in and personally grabbing them and pulling them out. Because it says that he was hailing them. And you know what that word hailing means? It means to forcibly drag somebody. Are you getting the picture of how much anger and outrage and blasphemy was in the heart of Saul? Amen? Turn over to the 9th chapter. Verse 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings. I mean, I can just see him. Have you ever seen somebody so angry that their nostrils are flared? And their lips look like they're swollen and you can just see the breath come out of their body. I mean, they are so angry. That's him. He's breathing out threatenings. He wasn't just talking. He was blaspheming and talking and raging. Till he almost couldn't get his breath. And slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And he went unto the high priest and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues. Damascus wasn't even part of Israel. It was Syria. He wasn't satisfied with rounding them up all around Jerusalem and Galilee. Now he wants to go to Damascus and get the Christians there. That if they found any of this way. You see, this way is how they referred to him in the beginning. They didn't call them Christians right away. They called to them as those people in this way. And you see, I kind of like that because Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, there's only one way. There's not many ways. People today say there's many ways to God. No, that's not true. I'm sorry. There's only one way. Amen. He said that he went to get the people that were in this way, whether they were men or women. And this is important because this was in the days when women were not given much identity or credit for anything. They weren't allowed to sit in the synagogues with the men in the same place. And many of them weren't even educated. They didn't know the scriptures often like the men would because they weren't given that privilege. But yet, when it come time to kill Christians, he had no mercy on the women. Didn't care if they were men or women. He went to bring them, to bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. Don't turn there, but he said, writing to the Galatians in Galatians 1:13, he said, you've heard of my past conversation. And the word conversation means my whole lifestyle, not just your speech. You've heard of my past life, how that, listen to this, how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. You know, I thought wasted was a fairly new word that they just come up with, you know, lately. Talk about wasting people. How many know what it means if somebody says they waste you? Usually means they shot you, right? I thought it was a new word. Then I realized it's an old word. I know Paul didn't have any guns, but he went around wasting, putting to death any means possible. Generally for them, it was picking up stones. And we don't mean little pebbles. We mean picking up stones that are so heavy that one or two would probably kill you.
Amen. What a revelation of God's unsurpassing grace. If he can save the chief of sinners, he can save anyone. Paul's conversion proved the worst sinners can make the best Christians and the best soul winners. He was the least likely to be saved, but he became the poster child for God's mercy. He hated Jesus. He forced Christians to blaspheme and put them to death because he was blinded by religious lies. Like him, there are sinners today who think they're good guys. They don't see their need for God. But don't give up on them. God can open their eyes just like he did Paul's and like he did Kamal Salid's, a Muslim jihadist who met Jesus Christ through the love and goodness of Christians. If you missed his testimony or that of Pam Howard's, a crack addict who was a victim of incestuous sexual abuse as a child, you can order this entire message on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the R.G. Hardy Radio Ministry. Ask for offer SK160. That's S as in Sharon, K as in Knots, 160. The mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or you can order online at rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. The offer number again for public sinner number one is SK160. Send your love gift of $10 or more to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, or order at rghardy.org. Even if you don't wish to order today, we would love to hear from you and to know whether or not the radio ministry is blessing you. Why not write us today or go online and let us know how you're blessed by the R.G. Hardy broadcast. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.